Good morning, beloved brethren.
Good morning.
It is certainly good to be here with you this morning. It is a blessing indeed to be able to gather together and worship the King. That's what we've come here to do this morning. That's what we have assembled to do, is to worship our Savior and King. Now, several years ago, our Savior was killed at the hands of evil man, but by the predetermined counsel of God as well. And he was in that grave for 3 days, but there's no way it could have held him. And he overthrew the power of the grave. He overpowered death. He arose from death and the grave, and he reigns eternal. And we're reminded of that event every first day of the week. That's when that happened, on the first day of the week, so many years ago. We celebrate that 52 weeks of the year. Every first day of the week, we celebrate Christ's resurrection, and that's what we're here to do again this morning. We're here to worship our resurrected Savior and to worship Him with the understanding that if we're faithful to Him, we serve Him faithfully all the days of our lives, we'll be resurrected to a life of glory with Him as well at the consummation of the age. We're so happy you're here this morning. We want you to pick up your Bible at this time as we continue to worship our King. And we're going to do that by studying His Word at this time. We're going to want you to open your Bible to Psalm 40. We're going to read verses 1 through 5. That's page 540 in your pew Bible, if you're reading from a pew Bible. Psalm 40, starting in verse 1. The psalmist wrote there, and this is a psalm of David. He said, "I've waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined to me and heard my cry. He brought me up out of the pit of destruction, out of the miry clay, and He set my feet upon a rock, making my footsteps firm. And He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many will see and fear, and will trust in the Lord. How blessed is the man who has made the Lord his trust, and has not turned to the proud, nor to those who lapse into falsehood. Many, O Lord my God, are the wonders which You have done, and Your thoughts toward us. There is none to compare with You. If I would declare and speak of them, they would be too numerous to count." How blessed is the man, or is the person, who has made the Lord his trust? Now look, that's not a question that the psalmist was asking there. That was an emphatic statement. How very blessed, how greatly blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, or the person who puts all their confidence in the Lord, the one who completely depends upon Him and does so confidently. Do you trust in the Lord? Have you made the Lord your trust? Have you placed your confidence in Him to see you through each and every situation, no matter how bleak or how dismal things may look or how good things may be? Come what may, have you made the Lord your trust? Have you placed your confidence in Him to see you through all events in life, all stages of life, every aspect of life? If you belong to Him and you trust in Him, then you are the most blessed person on this entire earth. Did you know that? You're so very blessed. Now, we sang the song just a few moments ago, "Count Your Many Blessings." Let me ask you, when is a good time to do that? When is a good time to count your many blessings? Well, according to the song that we just sing, according to verse 1, when upon life's billows you're tempest-tossed, when you're discouraged, thinking all is lost. We don't always feel like we're very blessed people, do we, in this life? Sometimes we get discouraged. Sometimes we're tossed around on a sea of emotion. Sometimes we're just tossed about by this world and the things that Satan can throw at us, but that's the best time, one of the best times, to stop and count your many blessings so you can be reminded of how blessed you are. You don't realize how blessed you are in those times. Verse 2, when you're ever burdened with a load of care, when the cross you're carrying, it seems heavy to bear. Once again, we don't always feel blessed. Sometimes we feel burdened. Sometimes we feel weighed down by the cares of this world. That's just the most opportune time of all to stop and count your many blessings, just to remind yourself. Verse 3, when you look at others with their land and gold, and maybe you don't have very much of this world's goods and possessions, you're not feeling very blessed. You can't count your money. You don't have any to count. What do you need to count? You need to count your blessings. That's a good time to do that, to remind yourself just how blessed you are in God, how rich you are in the Lord if you belong to Him. Verse 4, when amid conflict, whether great or small, you're experiencing some skirmishes on this earth, maybe you're having some battles with some people you love, maybe there's a war raging within you, battle of your own mind. You need to remind yourself at those times just how very, very blessed you are in the Lord Jesus Christ. The psalmist cried out unto the Lord there in Psalm 40. It said when he was in the pit of destruction, he had sunk just as low as he had possibly could have gone, as he could have sunk. He said he was in the miry clay. He was just face down in the dirt, in the muck, in the mire. Life wasn't throwing him any parties at this time in his life. But notice what the psalmist didn't do. He didn't throw himself a pity party. He waited patiently for the Lord. It said, he called out unto Him, and the Lord heard him, and He set him back up on his feet, and He placed him back on solid ground. And he was able to look back through the eyes of experience and see that God had pulled him through the roughest of times. What a great blessing that is for those of us who are in the Lord, who have any experience whatsoever in life or rough times. We can look back and we can see, God pulled me through those times. And He's going to do it again. The psalmist could look back at those times during times of the future when things were rough, when he was discouraged, when he was heavy laden, when he was envious, when he was having a conflict with others or himself. He could look back to the time that God had pulled him up out of that pit, set him back firmly on that solid ground. And those are just great times to count our many blessings. When times we're just not feeling very blessed, stop and think about, during those times, who God is, who you are, who's in control, because it's not you. We're reminded in those times when things aren't going the way we want them to, who is in control. It's certainly not us. And we got to look to God at that time in trusting confidence, realized, to be reminded of just how blessed we are to have a God like Him, and He's promised to see us through the toughest of situations. We are extremely blessed people. As a matter of fact, I believe that most of us here are just blessed beyond belief. So much so that sometimes we don't even believe it ourselves. Like I say, we don't feel blessed all the time. So often we feel dissatisfied with the way things are going in our lives. So often we feel slighted. We see others with their land and gold and we don't have that much. We feel passed over, looked over, underappreciated. We moan, we complain about how unfair life is sometimes, don't we? There was a cartoon in a newspaper not too long ago where this man and this woman had been watching a movie, a fairy tale movie, and the man said, I wonder if there really is such a thing as a fairy tale romance. And his wife looked at him and said, well, of course there is. She said, yours and mine, our romance is a fairy tale romance. He said, well, if that's true, why aren't we living happily ever after? And she said, well, we are. He said, well, Cinderella and Prince Charming, they didn't have 9-to-5 jobs. They didn't have a mortgage they had to worry about. They didn't have termites eating up the wood in their garage. And she said, that's true, but they didn't have indoor plumbing or electricity or cable TV either. If we actually stop and look at things the right way, we can find that blessings abound for us in our lives if we're looking at things from the proper perspective. Verse 1, now that song, once again said, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. When we stop and count our blessings during the times when we are not feeling particularly blessed, it may just surprise us. It may catch us completely by surprise. It may shock us when we're reminded of how extremely blessed we are. We had forgotten about that during those times, of how God has treated us so kindly, so graciously. And just because that's a cartoon, don't fail to see the wisdom in those words and that response by that woman in that cartoon. Have you ever stopped to consider just how great a blessing indoor plumbing is? Hot and cold running water? You find that out when you don't have hot water and you want to go take a shower and it's just cold. You can learn to appreciate cold running water. But that hot running water, that's awfully a A great benefit in this world. Electricity. Do you understand what a great privilege it is to live in the houses that have electrical service? You can just plug your radio or your hair dryer or your TV into, and that thing just fires right up. Those are pretty recent developments when you think about it. Maybe some of you had grandparents or parents. I know my grandmother could remember a time and talk about a time when she wanted to go to the restroom, she had to walk 100 yards out in the woods to an outhouse. And if she wanted to heat the house up or cook food, she had to put wood in the wood stove and burn that. And if she wanted a light, she had to go grab a candle. Just forget about central heating and air. That wasn't even a thought. We take these things for granted. But if we stop and think about how greatly God has blessed us, count those blessings, it's going to surprise us. Hey, wow, I never really stopped and thought about how wonderfully God has treated me and blessed me with His graces. God's people are just the most blessed people in the entire world. And He wants us to know that. He wants us to behave like that. Even when we're not feeling particularly blessed. Now let me ask you, where are you today? Not your body. I know where your body is today. I see you sitting there. I know you're at the Prairie Village Church of Christ this morning in the building. Where are you mentally? What are your thought processes right at this moment? What condition is your heart in? Is it broken? Is it shattered? Are you carrying a heavy load that's just too heavy for you to carry right now? Or is there a conflict going on in your life, maybe with a neighbor or with a wife or a husband or a child, a relative, a friend, an ex-friend? Or maybe that conflict is going on within you. Those are the worst kinds of conflicts, aren't they? The ones that rage inside your own mind. Those inner struggles, that turmoil that you just can't seem to resolve, that internal conflict, things that have been said in the past, things that have been done in the past. Is the past haunting you, or is the future daunting you? Are you just afraid of what life holds for you in the near or distant future? How in the world are you going to rise up out of that pit and free your mind from that bondage? That war that's going on inside of you, your mind is being held as a prisoner of war. How are you going to release it? How are you going to set it free and reign victorious? How are you going to do that? How's God going to be able to do that for you? Well, I'm not sure. I can't say for certain, but I do know something that's going to help. A guaranteed help for that problem, if not an absolute cure for that problem, is to count your many blessings. To do that, the psalmist said, many are the wonders God has done. His thoughts toward His children, they're too numerous even to count. But we need to try to do that just the same. The blessings of God are so numerous that we just couldn't tabulate them. We couldn't calculate them all if we wanted to. But let's take the time to try to do that anyway. See if we can turn our mindset around. Let's just take a few moments to do that. If your mind and heart are not in the right place, if they're in a bad place, if you're locking horns with failure and disaster and misfortune, you got to turn that mindset around. Is what you got to do. That way of thinking. If you're focusing on the failure, you're always going to be perceiving yourself as a failure. Did you know that? If you're focusing on the disaster and the destruction, your life is always going to look like one of those storm aftermath pictures that you see on the 11 o'clock news after a tornado hit locally. We've had a lot of that going on recently. It's always going to appear that way. Everything's going to look bleak and dismal. If that's the way you're always thinking, if those are the things you're always focused on. But if you can turn that around, and you can focus on the blessings, you're going to take a giant step forward to seeing yourself as a blessed person. The blessed person that you truly are. Let's just take a couple of minutes and just count a couple of the blessings together that maybe we haven't considered, or maybe it will surprise you what the Lord has done. First of all, let me ask you, do you have food in your refrigerator? You do, don't you? I'm looking at people who are not missing any meals. That's a great blessing. 1 Timothy 4 and verse 4 says that we should receive the food that God has given us with gratitude, with thanksgiving. God has blessed us with those things. We should really appreciate that. If you have food in your refrigerator, I want you to know that you're more blessed than over a billion people in this world who are not getting enough to eat this very moment. Let me ask you this. Can you read a good book? The Bible, for instance. Can you pick up the Bible and turn to just one of those wonderful pages within and read the glorious, inspired Word of God and just let that lift you up and shape you and form you into what God wants you to? If you can read, I want you to know that you're more blessed than, once again, over a billion people in this world, a billion adults who are illiterate, who do not have the ability to read. We don't stop and consider what a wonderful blessing that is, because we've just been doing that so long, we take it for granted. The ability to read, especially, read the Word of God, just a great blessing. Do you have clean water to drink? I want you to know that if you do, over 1 billion people don't have clean water readily available to them. So you're more blessed than over a billion people in this world. Many people drink contaminated water from a well or an old stream or just a puddle in a field, like you see these people depicted here. How about access to a clean bathroom? Do you have access just to good sanitation? You go in the bathroom and can you wash your hands or maybe take a bath, shave, spruce yourself up real nice and have plumbing carry that right out to a sewer or just flush the toilet and it carries right out of your house into a sewage system that cleans that up before it eliminates that? Well, if you have that available to you, you are more blessed than 2.5 million people, billion people in this world. Nearly half the population in the world do not have proper sanitation, do not have adequate sanitation. So, you need to stop and think about how blessed you are. The fact that you're worshiping in this building this morning without the fear of harassment or being arrested for your beliefs and for assembling in the name of those beliefs and even being tortured or even suffering death because of that, being executed because of your beliefs and the expression of those beliefs. I want you to know that if you can do these things like we do this morning without the fear of these things, these repercussions, you're more blessed than 3 billion people in the world that we live in. Nearly, once again, half of the population of this world face persecution for the beliefs that they hold dear to their hearts. We got to stop and count our many blessings, brothers and sisters. Stop and count them. And look, I want you to do that later. I want you to physically do that. I'm going to give you an assignment this afternoon, this evening. I want you to get home, and when you do that, I want you to take out a piece of paper and a pen, and I want you to write down, just start. Give yourself a 10-minute time period to do that. Because you could take the whole day and never stop writing your blessings down. One page wouldn't be enough to hold all the ways that you're blessed. But I want you to write, take the 10 minutes out of your day, all the ways that God's blessed you. And you're going to be surprised when you look at that paper of what the Lord has done for you. The multitude of the ways that He has blessed you with His goodness and His graces. And what it's going to do is it's just going to shift your focus. It's going to shift your mindset. It's going to turn that whole thing around for you. A whole paradigm shift there. You are a recipient of God's grace and goodness, and both great and small, they all add up, and they all are so important and significant if you stop and think about it. And what it's going to do, it's going to get you going in the right direction and looking at yourself that way. And you're not just going to see some blessings on a piece of paper and count all the things that God has given to you to make you happy. It's going to place within you a heart of blessedness, a spirit of blessedness. You're going to look at yourself the way that God looks at you and the way He wants you to look at yourself, as a blessed person. Not a person with just a bunch of stuff. That's not what I'm talking about here. I'm talking about it's going to help you understand how wonderful life is and how many things you have to live for and look forward to and to hope in. That God has taken care of you. And He will take care of you. And He does care for you greatly. And that's just going to help you realize that much more fully. Well, let me ask you, are those the only times that we forget how blessed we are when things aren't going in our favor? We're kind of just down in our spirits. Are those the only times that we have to be careful that we forget how blessed people we are, that we forget God and all the things He's done for us. I'm afraid that's not true. We tend to forget the Lord and all the blessings that He's blessed us with when times are going great, or when times are just going fair or so-so, or when times are going terrible. In other words, there's always a danger of us doing that if we're not very careful. Now, some of God's sternest warnings to His people were given to them when their blessings were just at their highest level, when they were just over the top blessed with material prosperity. We tend to forget God and how blessed we are when we're prosperous as well, not just when things are going bad for us. The thing is, we may remember we're blessed, but we forget who did the blessing. And then, if that's the case, those blessings aren't blessings at all. That, no matter how rich we are in this earth, if we don't understand that these things came from God, if we don't appreciate for them, we're still dirt poor. We're impoverished beyond belief. And we're just in a great danger of worse things happening for us eternally. So, when things are going great, we need to be careful that we do not forget the Lord. Deuteronomy chapter 8. In verses 11 through 14, have this to say about that. God had warned Israel before they entered into the promised land with these words. He said, Deuteronomy 8, 11 through 14, "Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping His commandments and His ordinances and His statutes which I am commanding you today. Otherwise, when you have eaten and are satisfied and have built good houses and lived in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply, and your silver and your gold multiply, and all that you have multiplies, then your heart will become proud, and you will forget the Lord your God, who brought you out from the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery." When you have everything that your little heart could possibly desire, I got to tell you, you're just at the precipice of a great fall. You're at your most perilous condition. At that point, we got to stop and count our many blessings, even at those times of great prosperity. Now, don't be like King Midas. Don't go and lock yourself away in your counting room and count all your gold coins. That's not what I'm talking about. Count your blessings. Remember who blessed you. Give thanks and praise to the blesser, the one who did the blessing. If not, it says your heart will become proud. Mike prayed that this morning very appropriately, that we not become proud, not too full of ourselves. That's what's going to happen. If we look at all the things we've amassed and accumulated, and we forget God in the process, we're going to say, "Well, I did this with my own hands. I made this wealth for myself. I built this empire of mine. I did it all." And then your stuff, it's not going to be a blessing for you at all at that point. It's just going to be dead weight. It's going to keep you earthbound. It's going to keep you weighed down. And it's going to squash you instead of being a blessing to you. In the worst of times and in the best of times, there can be a tendency to forget God. And we need to be careful during all of these times in our lives. As we said earlier, these earthly blessings are really, as wonderful as they are, as comforting as they can be, they're really the inferior blessings compared to what God has supplied for us in Christ Jesus. Those things of a spiritual nature, those things of an eternal nature, the greatest blessings that we could experience on this earth that we do experience, we experience them whether we're rich or poor, whether we're weak or strong, whether we're old or young, whether we're in prison or whether we're free, it doesn't matter. The riches in Christ are the greatest of all riches. The Apostle Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 4, verses 11 through 13, "Not that I speak from want, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstance I am. I know how to get along with humble means, and I know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having an abundance and suffering need. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me." In Him, in Christ, through Jesus, it didn't matter to Paul what his earthly lot was. It just didn't matter to him. He could do all things through Him. Whether he had a lot or a little, whether he was hungry or full, he experienced all of these ebbs and flows of life, all these peaks and valleys of life. It didn't matter to him. He was the same spiritually because he knew the spiritual blessings were the greatest of all. He weren't going to allow the fickle hand of fate to affect him spiritually. Riches come, riches go. But if you're in Christ Jesus, the true eternal spiritual riches are always there. In Christ, all spiritual blessings dwell, it says in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3. All the blessings that really amount to anything eternally are in Christ Jesus. Paul said he could do all things through Him. All things that really mattered. Anything that really added up to anything. He could pray to his God at any time through Christ Jesus. He could worship his Lord at any time. He could fellowship with God or his brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus. He had forgiveness of sins in Christ. He had redemption. Christ purchased him back with his blood. He had the peace that passed all comprehension. You can't find that in anywhere, in anything else other than the Lord. You can't find that in earthly riches. You can't find that in nice homes and cars and clothing and food. Only that peace that passes or surpasses all comprehension, it can only be found in Christ Jesus. He had salvation, the salvation of His soul. Who else can give you that? What else can give you that? You are so blessed, brother or sister in Christ, if that's where you are, if that's who you are. If you are in Christ Jesus, you're just the most blessed person ever. There's no more safe place to be. There's no more happy place to be, more peaceful, blessed place that you could possibly be than in Christ Jesus. Look, if you're in Christ Jesus, you could be in a prison cell with your feet in stocks, but you could still have a free enough spirit to sing praises of thanksgiving and honor to God, just like Paul and Silas did when they were in that jail in Philippi, thrown into the inner prison and their feet locked in chains, but they were free in spirit, only in Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus, you could be imprisoned by a failing body. Everything could be shutting down and falling apart around you. But you know if you're in Him, you're soon going to be equipped with that glorious, eternal, spiritual body that God has promised you in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 that is going to equip you to dwell with Him forever in heaven. It just doesn't matter how things are going for you on this earth if you're in Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus, you could be impoverished on this earth to the point where you couldn't rub two dimes together. But you know in Him that you are more rich than Donald Trump and Bill Gates and Oprah Winfrey all combined together. All their riches together. All of that amassed couldn't compare to what the glory and the riches and just the wonder that Christ has for you here on this earth and in store for you for eternity. Verse 3 of that song again. When you look at others with their lands and gold, think that Christ has promised you His wealth untold. Count your many blessings money cannot buy, your reward in heaven, nor your home on high. In Christ Jesus, you just have everything. You've got it all. You're missing out on nothing. And you have eternity and the promise of heaven forever. Rejoice. Shout with praise, honor, and joy to the Lord for what He has done for you in the Lord. Count your many blessings. Remember the Lord at all times. Remind yourself of what He's done, what He will do, and who you are in Him. Develop that heart of thankfulness, that heart of blessedness. Remember how blessed you are. Psalm 103, verses 1 through 5, the last passage of Scripture we'll read this morning. Psalm 103, 1 through 5. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of His benefits. Who pardons all our iniquities, or your iniquities. Who heals all your diseases. Who redeems your life from the pit. Who crowns you with loving kindness and compassion. Who satisfies your years with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. Forget none of His blessings. Forget none of His benefits. They're all yours. Every single one of them in Christ Jesus. All spiritual blessings are yours in Him. He heals your diseases. Now look, that doesn't mean that He's always going to make you healthy in your body and your mind on this earth. But if you're faithful to Him, it says He pardons your iniquities. He forgives your sins, and you're going to be healthy for eternity. So it's not going to matter what happens to your body on this earth. He has redeemed you from the pit. He's pulled you up out of the quicksand, the mire, the muck of sin and damnation, like only He can do in Christ Jesus. And He set you on that solid ground that is Christ, that is our rock, that is His church. He's crowned you with loving kindness and compassion. In Christ Jesus, He treats you just like royalty, like a king. You're going to reign with Him forever and ever. And He wants you to wear that blessedness like a crown for all to see. He wants you to share that with other people. He don't want you to keep that just for yourself. All those spiritual blessings. He satisfies your heart with all good things, it says. The best things. The very best that God had to offer. He gave to you. And He gave to me. In His Son. And then it says, your youth is renewed like the eagle. One of these days, you're going to sprout eagle's wings. You'll fly away home on those wings one day. You're going to be renewed eternally when you gain those wings that are going to fly you all the way to heaven. It's okay to feel like the most blessed person in the whole world if you're in Christ. That's what He wants you to do. That's the way He wants you to feel. You are God's beloved. And it's good to feel that way. Go ahead and pick up your songbook. We're going to sing number 601. Give you an opportunity to obey the gospel this morning. All spiritual blessings are in Christ Jesus. The question is, are you in Christ Jesus? If they're all in Christ and you're outside of Christ, guess how many spiritual blessings you have available to you? Can you do the math? Look at the chart up there on the board. All of those blessings are in Christ. What if you're out here, outside of Him? How many do you have at your disposal? That would be zero. You need to be in Christ to have access to these blessings. What do you need to do to get there? Well, according to Galatians chapter 3 and verse 27, you need to be baptized into Christ. According to Acts 2 and verse 38, that is for the forgiveness of your sins. According to 1 Peter 3:21, that is in order to be saved. That's where salvation resides, in Christ. That's a spiritual blessing, the greatest of all. Can we baptize you into Christ this morning? Do you believe Jesus? Do you believe in Him? Do you believe that He is the Son of God? Do you believe the Bible? You ready to obey it? You ready to obey all of God's commands? You ready to turn from your sins? Purpose in your heart to sin no more? You ready to put Him on in baptism? We're ready to help you this morning if we can help you in any way spiritually. All those spiritual blessings in Christ, you got to get in Him or you got to get back in Him. If there's anything we can do to help you this morning, you come let me know that while we're standing and singing.